Hello, 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 hello. Hi, welcome. Welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered. My name is Charles. How are you? I hope you've had a fantastic week. What is going on with you, my dear? This week has been Higgy and Haga. Literally, I'm a professional yapper at this point in time. I keep saying Higgy Haga or Higgy and Haga. That's what I've been saying all week, like literally. I'm recording this on a Friday because this is when I have the time to do so. And whilst we were driving to go get some snacks and some groceries, my dear, some drivers are mad. This man literally overtook without even caring about the car that was coming. We're driving to and he was coming from. And he did not care. Thank goodness my man was not driving the full speed that you're supposed to drive. It was 100 kilometers per hour and he was driving 60. I don't know why he was doing that. Maybe because I was talking to him. This week again, another story that has to do with a car. I was driving back from the gym. I went to the gym early in the morning. What day was it that I went to the gym earlier in the morning? I can't remember. Was it on Thursday? I think it was yesterday actually. Yeah, it was yesterday. There was a road construction and I was driving up closer to it. And there was a trowel in the middle of the road. I thought it was something like, I don't know what I thought it was. As I was getting closer, I realized that it was a trowel. Me in my head, the way I think sometimes when I drive, I was like, I hope I did not drive over this. I drove and I navigated my way out of it. That is dangerous. That is dangerous. I drove back as I was going to go get something later on in the evening and it was no longer there. That is me yapping again. As I said, I have been talking rubbish. What have I been doing? Adulting. Being an adult. Being all over the place. Trying to survive. Working. Doing a lot like each and every one of you. That's what we do. We just do what needs to be done. Let's get into today's topic. Yes. What it is. Oh God. Oh my God. This is not morning. I have woken up. What it means to navigate queerness in workplaces, from creative industries to corporate offices, as someone that is African, as a queer African, or someone of African descent, or an African, or someone in the diaspora. I'm going to bite my tongue. I remember vividly when I first moved to Manchester and started working, when I chat to men on the internet when I was trying to do my meetups or hookups or dates. Sometimes when you have conversations with people, they will be like, are you out at work? And I'll always be like, I don't really get this. It was later on that I started to understand what they meant by that. So literally, some people are out, but they are not out professionally at work. People at work do not know about their sexual orientation. I never knew this. This was a few years ago. Now, I don't think it's no longer like that. You know, because these days, if you are posting on the internet or you are out and about, things are a lot more different. But I will always hear people say this. Oh, I'm not out at work. For someone like me, who is from Nigeria and African, or people of African descent, or people that are from Africa, it is totally different. You can't even come out. For someone like me, one of my friends insulted me literally that I'm dancing naked. Yes, I'm out. But a lot of people are out, but they are not out at work. That is something that still happens up until today. A lot of people are out, but they are not out at work because it is a situation whereby a few people still find uncomfortable. I understand that people may not want to be in a situation whereby if someone is speaking to you, every time they want to talk to you, they bring up your sexuality. I say that I'm gay and I say it publicly. If I'm working with you, I don't want you to remind me every now and then, every time that I talk to you, that I'm gay. Because there's so much to me than being a homosexual. And a lot of the times, people try as much as possible not to come out at work because of safety, because of disrespect, and because of they don't want to be sharing their business at work. They don't want you to be like, oh, you know the way people look at queer people sometimes, they will just see you as that what you do is sex. Or when you talk about something that has to do with finances, some people will literally say, oh, you don't have children. I don't know if you've ever heard the word pink pound and things like this. So people will just literally feel like, oh, you are doing this because you are gay. You are doing that because you are gay. So a lot of people are trying as much as possible to avoid this situation, if that makes any sense. So because of this, a lot of people won't. Then if you look into it, say for instance, you live in Nigeria or you live in any African country, you don't even want to come out to people. You won't even come out to anybody. Even if you are okay at home and you are loud with your friends, you get to wherever you are working, be it a creative space, a professional space, you want to be as quiet as possible. You want to hide yourself as much as possible because of the society where you are, because you don't want people to move mad. For your safety, I will not lie to you. The headache that I have, I was sleeping in the car when we were driving to go and get snacks and groceries. That is how drained I think I am. But I hope I'm making sense if you understand what I'm trying to say. Let's talk about being queer in professional spaces. The constant pressure to code switch, to shrink yourself, to self-monitor. I went through this for years. For years. I remember this particular job I was working at in Manchester, that whenever it comes up about relationships, about girlfriends, about wives, about things like this, I will always go to my default setting of, oh, marriage is antiquated. I tried as much as possible to hide anything, no matter how minimal that thing is, maybe discussing movies, TV shows. I will never even tell anybody that I liked Real Housewives. I will not tell anybody that I love Todrick Hall. I will not discuss things like that. I will not even talk about Lady Gaga. Anything that will make anybody think that I'm gay, I will never, ever have those conversations. I was self-monitoring to the highest level. It was crazy. One time, Manchester City did this thing during Manchester Pride. They had a jersey where the Manchester City logo was in rainbow, the colors of rainbow. And I was talking to someone that worked with me. The way I had the conversation, I made sure that they did not look at me with side eye. But the person is gay. Looking back at this, I am so angry at myself, extremely angry at myself, because I don't have anything to lose. The only thing I thought that I was going to lose was my relatives not speaking to me, was me not having certain friends and things like this. Let me tell you, if you are doing something like this, what you are doing to yourself is a disservice. You are not helping yourself, because what you are allowing yourself to happen to you is you allow people to be in your life that are not supposed to be in your life. Those people will be in your life and they will be making you miserable. What that did for me was I wasn't able to make the connections that I was supposed to make. I would have made a deeper connection with this person. Some of these people I still have on my contact. I feel so ashamed to go back to them. Maybe they have seen my video and they know that I'm gay. Maybe they knew. I used to always say this to people. Live your life. Do what you are doing. They may suspect, but they don't know it. And if you live by that motto, you will live your life. If someone says to you, are you gay? All you can say to them is that I'm not gay. If you are not comfortable, or if you don't feel safe. You just say to them that I'm not comfortable. Me saying this, like saying it like this, is me coming from a privileged position. Because if you are in Nigeria, if people suspect it, they will attack you. If you are in Ghana, if people suspect it, they will attack you. I'm saying, if you are in a society where you can literally just not care, but not tell anybody, like live by the rule of literally, don't ask, don't tell. Somehow. I got to a point where I wasn't really caring anymore. I remember one time when Fitness First was all over the UK. There was this particular Fitness First on Mosley Street in Manchester. And I went there to work out. I used to work out there. And this guy from Senegal was the first time he ever met me. The first thing he asked me, how is your family? How is your wife? How is your girlfriend? And I said to him, you don't even know me. You haven't really exchanged pleasantries with me. You are asking me something private. Looking back now, that person did not do anything wrong. I know they did not have any boundaries, but it was because of I was carrying the burden of not allowing people to know about me. I was really, really pissed off with them. All I would have done, which I did, was just say, oh, I don't have a wife. And that was it. I said that, but I was angry at the same time. And that is a situation I don't want any of you to be in. All you have to do is, no, I'm not. And the anxiety of being too visible or not visible enough as well can be a problem. Sometimes you get anxious about it. You'll be like, do they know that I'm gay? Do you think they know? Maybe they do. What will happen to me? Then you become agitated. You become worried. I had a particular situation one time with a friend of mine. He had gone to a gay bar like I did one time. And he was really, really anxious because he said to me, oh, somebody came in there, peeped and then walked away. And he was thinking that that person may know him, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I just said to him, no, it doesn't really matter if they do. And I was going through the same thing. Oh boy, he did not know that what I was going through was worse than what he was going through. I swear. All of this stems from our upbringing. This is why in this my age, in this era of my life, the person that I am now, I don't subscribe to a lot of nonsense. When I mean nonsense, I don't want to be around people who will make me feel like shit. I don't want to be around you if you are going to tell me that who I am is useless, that who I am is a taboo. And I try as much as possible now not to worry about all of these things. Of course, when you are trying to navigate this life as someone that is gay, the way society and life is unkind to us, you always carry some form of anxiety. You always carry some form of it, depending on where you live. Because I'm not in an environment where I feel unsafe. So being visible or not visible is not really a problem for me. But can you imagine being a young queer person in Ghana, in Cameroon, in Nigeria, in Uganda, with no money, no financial support, no help? Do you understand what that feels like? Do you understand the anxiety, the wahala, the trouble that people go through? That is something that I think about almost every day, especially when I have my down moments, because life is full of ups and downs. We are not always all smiley and all happy all the time. Sometimes it can literally be something very little or something that somebody said about their struggles will make me go through this thing where I start to think, I start to dissect things. I start to say to myself, what do we do? How are we going to help? And I am only an individual. It's just only me. I can only do as much as I can do, which is try my best. And that is what I'm doing to the best of my ability. So I totally understand. I am going on a tangent here, but you know what I mean. Stay with me. Because this life is not kind to us. Safety, professionalism, and respectability politics in Africa and diasporic work culture. This is why I will never want to be in a situation where I want to work for someone that is African or a person of African descent that is extremely religious. When I mean extremely religious, I mean those types of people who are fanatical. You know, the ones who are not in touch with reality. The ones who, if you are around them, everything is God condemns this. God said you are a sinner. I don't want to be in that environment because my safety is of importance to me. When I mean safety, I know I'm not going to be attacked physically. But I mean like emotional safety. I want to be respected. I want you to be professional towards me. Because whether we like it or not, the way some of these people move with religion, everything is political these days. Everything is political. One time I went to a meeting my village people had in London. My brother forced me. Every time he would be like, why are you not always wanting to come with us? Blah, 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 blah. So I went. Once I come into that environment, because of the way I moved, the way I carried myself, Some of them were saying certain things to my brother that I did not like, but you know what those things mean. Like, oh, why is your brother acting like he is an Oyibo person? Why is he behaving like he doesn't belong to us? Things like this. Some people said this. And I keep saying to myself, what is the common denominator here? I realized what was going on because I wasn't playing to the rules. I wasn't conforming. And in that space, because I don't know you, despite the fact that we are from the same village, we need to get to know each other. So I have to be careful. I was careful. I was respectful. I was professional. But at the same time, I know where I am and I know the way some of you move. And I know the things that some of you will do. Because of that, I was trying as much as possible because I shielded myself. I did not want to get to be open to them, for them to know me. Because them knowing me means them knowing about my sexuality. There is a lot of things that I lost because of this. Because I was avoiding not going to people like that to provide any form of assistance to me. Today, it is a different story. Because I am out, you know that I'm gay. The part of me that doesn't want people to know that I'm gay is no longer there. So if I come to work for you in that culture as someone that is African or someone of African descent, I wouldn't care if you know that I'm gay. But I would want you to be respectful of who I am. And before I want to be in that environment, I will want you to respect me. I am saying in a situation where I have control, where there is laws, rules and regulations, because this is never a story in Africa. We know. But I'm just saying, if it's in somewhere like the UK or other places in the world like Canada, the US, Germany, Sweden, Spain, Australia and places like this, where there is accountability, where if you move mad, if you are homophobic, if you attack someone that is queer, it is a hate crime and you are going to go to jail. If you discriminate somebody at work, it will be classified and classed as discrimination. If you attack someone that is gay on a public transport, you will go to jail. You will be locked up. So these are the privileges and things that we have. Like, I posted a TikTok vlog today and I was sitting in my car a few days ago as I was recording the vlog. I just parked as I was sitting there. The cars, the shop I was looking at, the dust light, and I saw a rainbow flag and I was like, oh, they love us here. They love us here. They want us to be here. This is a symbol that you are welcomed and we are not going to take any homophobic nonsense from anybody. So I say all this to say that just be careful as well where you work and the things you do at work. Workplace microaggressions. There is so many ways queerness gets dismissed, joked about, and sometimes even erased. People deny that you exist. When you work in certain places, when people know that you are gay, they will joke with you anyhow. One time I was listening to LBC, they were talking about sexual abuse and workplace behavior and things like this. And this guy called, the guy is gay. And the way he said some of the women who worked with him and some of his colleagues, especially with the women, they will spank him, they will touch him inappropriately. And when he felt really, really objectified and disrespected. They were doing these things thinking that he's gay. And he has spoken to them about it and some of them understood and they stopped. But some of them were like, oh yeah, but you're gay now. We are friends, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the point. I have said this so many times. I'm a gay man. I have very close female friends. At the end of the day, I am still a man. I know I'm a man that is attracted to men. But if a woman is my friend, no matter how close we are, if I'm sleeping in the same room as you, if we are sharing a hotel room together, I'm not going to just be naked anyhow or invade into your space when you are naked. I'm going to respect you, your privacy, Even if you are naked in my front, I will respect your privacy. Because at the end of the day, I'm a man. I need to respect your space. I'm not going to just be flinging my bell everywhere, exposing myself everywhere to you, or touch you inappropriately. We can play, but I'm not just going to come and touch your breast or touch your ass, touch you anyhow. That is not right. I'm not going to joke with you sexually in a disrespectful way. And sometimes this happens where people will dismiss you. They will talk about you. They will say certain things to you that are so weird. They will say things about gay people that are disrespectful. And when you pull them up on it, they'll be like, "But I don't mean it." There is so many ways you can get microaggression from people. And sometimes when they do these things, they don't know that they are in the wrong. I always will pull people up on things and tell you, "Oh, this is not okay." In most cases, people with common sense will totally understand. They will be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not know that this is wrong. I'm so sorry. If that made you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry." They will apologize and move on, and everything will be fine. So these are the things that we face, okay? Sometimes we deal with co-workers who will tiptoe around queerness. They will not even talk to you about it. They will just act like you are not there. They will not want to have the conversations because they feel like it's not their place. In some cases, that is a passive-aggressive behavior of someone that has some reservations. So they don't like who you are. They don't believe that people should be gay. They will pretend that they don't want to talk about it. It's nothing to talk about. Those are the worst type of people. Those are the worst type of people who will pretend that, "Oh, we don't talk about it here. There is no need to talk about it. Why do we need to talk about it? It doesn't matter." And they will not even acknowledge you. They will not look you in the eye. They will not have any conversations with you. It is wild. I have come across things like this so many freaking times. And all I do is I just move on and live my life. And I will pay them dust. There is a lot of emotional labor when it comes to educating or defending your identity. Be it on the internet, be it at work, be it generally. I do this on TikTok every fucking day. You are always trying to explain to people. Even people who know, they will be like, "Oh, but explain to me." They have already made up their mind. They will say, "Oh, explain this to me. Explain to me. I want you to explain it to me. I don't understand it. Explain. It's not like this." There's a guy I disconnected the day before yesterday because it was like I was going round and round and round in circles, and we will circle back to the same thing every time. And I just said to him, "No, I can't. I'm done." I disconnected him. And this is something people should understand. It is emotional and draining to do sometimes. Because some of these people are just obtuse. They are obtuse, I swear. I don't know. Am I a creative? Queer creativity and labor, what does it mean to pour queerness into your work? What does it mean? I don't know. I have thought about this so many times. That's why I'm mentioning it today. It is part of who we are. That's why I incorporate who I am into whatever I'm doing. Even if I don't say, if I don't tell you, I'm not going to hide my identity, be it at work, be it amongst friendship, amongst anybody, or in whatever I'm doing. So there's always going to be a bit of me that will make you think, "Oh, maybe he's gay," because I've passed that point in my life where I want to pretend. So if I'm working, I won't tell you, but I'm not going to not dress the way I want to dress. Even if I wear a suit, I will wear a suit that fits me, that is professional, but you will always know that I'm who I am. We need to learn how to protect our joy, our ideas, our softness in situations where you can be extracted, where you can be used, taken advantage of. That is something that you need to have in mind. It is hard to be who we are. It is difficult. That is why you find out that there's a lot of people who are queer who will never come out. Because nobody wants to be disrespected. Nobody wants to be insulted. It is not a good thing. It can be draining and disappointing. But when you have gotten to the point in life where you feel like, I don't fucking care, you will live your life. And I'm living my life. I was thinking about this yesterday on TikTok Live when I was talking to this individual that was so disrespectful. All I kept thinking about is about boundaries, balance, and burnout. And I realized that it's something that I do okay in. I do okay, but I'm not great at it. Because sometimes even when you create boundaries and you have balance and you're doing all of these things, there's other things that happens to you as a human being. And because of this, I have said to myself that it's important for we as queer people to know when to speak up and when silence is self-preservation. You need to know when your silence is for you, that you are preserving your energy. You are preserving your peace. You are just taking care of you. You are being kind to yourself. Because let me tell you, if you are going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down with some of these people who are wayward, it will sap all of the energy you have. That is why sometimes when people are arguing and they are telling me, yari, yari, yada, talking all of the nonsense, I would be like, oh, you're right. You are right. I want to preserve my peace of mind. If you are in a place of work where you feel like things are too much, it is important as a queer person to build support system within, build your support systems within and outside of work. Build your support systems within and outside of work. Try as much as possible to reclaim your time when you've overworked. I used to have this particular job where I will do overtime and then I didn't realize that I was supposed to be claiming my time back. And later I spoke to them. Then I realized that, oh my God, these people are taking the piss. They think we are fools. So reclaim your time, get your time, do what needs to be done. Rest. Even when you are expected to be overperforming, let me tell you, some of these companies, if anything happens to you today, they will employ somebody else. Rest. Take your time. If you are expected to overperform, there should be some form of compensation then. I'm just saying, make the time to take care of yourself. You know what I was saying to a friend of mine the other day? I said that I think that we as queer people haven't really thought about how we need to redefine professionalism. And he was like, what are you saying? I said, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm just saying that you need to just say to people that I'm gay at work or not say that I'm gay at work. But I was just saying that we need to learn how to be professional at work in everything that we are doing. We need to redefine it for ourselves. What does professionalism mean to you as a queer person? Does professionalism mean to you that you need to just go there and overwork yourself in an environment where people don't even care about you? Are you going to do that? Are you going to go in there, challenge outdated norms around identity, appearance, and self-expression? Are you going to do that? Because there is a lot of outdated norms and ways in which society sees life. I was listening to a particular radio show and they were talking about work, where some older people would be like, oh, back in our day, back in our day. No, back in our day, this is not back in our day. This is now. Work is no longer a place. If someone is working for you and they work from home or they are working however they want to work for you and they are productive and they are getting the work done, what is the problem? Honestly, we need to be showing up with intention. Even when you are not out, I mean, show up with intention. This is for our queer brethren, LGBTQIA plus individuals who live in societies where they cannot be out. Show up with intention. Come there and say, this is what I want to do. I know myself. I know what I'm doing. Come there, do the job that you want to do. Be that bad babe. Be that bad guy. When I mean bad, I mean like doing good things. Do your job, show up, perform, but preserve yourself and do the best for you. Because at the end of the day, we as queer people are always taken for granted. And we need to learn that we are the thing. We are the moment. We are. And you need to understand the power that you possess. You need to understand the uniqueness that you possess. You need to understand that you are special. If you understand this, you will be flying. I want you to tell me, what part of yourself do you leave at the door when you go to work? Do you bring your flamboyant self into work? Or do you bring your demure or your very mindful, very cutesy self to work? Or do you bring your, yes, I'm gay, look at me. What do you bring? Whatever you bring to work should be your authentic self. It doesn't have to be you being loud or out. It just has to be your authentic self, but in a way whereby you are preserving your peace and doing your job and minding your business. I need you to reflect on one boundary. Reflect on one. Think about something about yourself that you want people to respect you for. For people to not cross the line when it comes to that. Think of one affirmation or practice that helps you stay whole while navigating work. Not only work, life in general. As I said, and I will continue to say this, always let people know that you have boundaries. Always affirm yourself. Because in most cases, nobody's going to affirm you. So affirmation. Because this life is ups and downs. I do this for myself where I'll be like, I'm that person. I'm amazing. I'm wonderful. And that is the truth, because I am. Thank you so much for being here with me today. If you want to write into the podcast, you can write to info@myownkindofrunway.com. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. I am My Own Kind of Runway on every platform. I have been Charles, and this has been Igbo Queer and Unfiltered podcast. I shall see you in the next episode. Continue to be wonderful.